It is 4:28 here on Downtown, and time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us in studio.
Hi.
Freshly shorn.
Yeah, well...
Still in the throes of birthday celebration. Happy
That's
belated.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a glorious couple of days of being 40. It feels remarkably similar to 39, but that's okay. I mean, 39 felt pretty close to 83, so no. Things are good. Things are, yeah. I mean, it's great. And now, you know, my daughter also just had a birthday recently, so I'm having to adjust multiple ages when I talk about, you know, my family life. How old are your kids? I don't remember. How old are you? Definitely now 40. I've been calling myself 40 for at least 2 years now, and people always, oh, you're not 40 yet. I'm like, yeah, but my perspective is that. My perspective is not that as of a 35-year-old or a 20-year-old, certainly not a 20-year-old. No.
You'll never be younger than you are today.
No. That's probably for the best. I wasn't very good at being young. I'm not very good at being this age, but I was very bad at being young.
Yeah, it's same with me. It's appropriate that I get to an age where my crankiness makes sense.
That's right. Somebody once famously said, you know, like you're trying to get your golf game to your age, right? And like that was the idea. Like that was the golden age. And I've always sort of thought, yeah, like the golden age for me will definitely be like when my attitude matches my actual number of years.
Mm.
I don't think I can live that long.
No.
I've been get off my lawn for.
Yeah, I feel the same way with golf. Plus. I mean, I'm gonna.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'll never. That's right. I will never hold myself to that standard on a Lynx course unless it's like a par three, and even then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been taking my son mini golfing recently, and I'm trying to convince him that, you know, like the high score wins, you know, so that he knows he feels like he beats daddy.
Oh,
because otherwise
nice.
He gets frustrated. Like, I'm no good. I'm like, no, you're fine. You're not supposed
so you
to.
You don't let him beat you.
I can't.
I can't either. I can't do that.
It's really, you know, the other thing
and
is.
And I tell myself, it's not because I'm competitive. It's because I want him to, when he finally does beat me, I want it to mean something.
I want him to watch somebody doing it right because he's got this weird goofy, like he's trying to figure out what handed he is.
Oh yeah.
And so between that and a hockey stick, he's swinging as if he's a right-hand guy, but he's like goofy. It's like goofy foot on a skateboard or something. It's goofy hand. And I can't explain to him, but I'm like, if you're comfortable, I guess I'm cool with it, but like, this is how daddy chooses to do it. And if you want to do it that way, it might help. And a good buddy of mine said, take him to a driving range and let him try to drive that way and shaft his you know, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that to my 5-year-old quite yet. I'm not going to let him hurt himself. But yeah, it's cool. So anyway, why are we here? We're here to talk about booze and stuff. Oh, I should just, by the way, before I start, I would be remiss if I did not on the radio as well. Take a moment to honor Anthony Bourdain, who, as I said in my newsletter, by the way, if you wonder why there's a whole generation, and it's not just an age thing, it's a culture thing, but if you ever wonder why there's so many people who love food and who love the conviviality of it, there and wonder why there's a food network, right? Like it's all because of this guy. I'm telling you, like there was this really amazing subversive undercurrent when I first started in this business, and people would hand around dog-eared used paperback copies of Kitchen Confidential, and I got one, and it changed my life and changed a lot of other people. And I guess that's also a way of saying that a lot of us lived our lives wanting to be him, and of course what happened Friday with him taking his own life, I think shocked a lot of us. A lot of us. I mean, it's funny, you know, every community's lost their one of their icons to suicide. This was ours. And it hit tons of my friends. Just everybody was just like overwhelmed. So I guess the point is we all love what we do. We try to make everybody's life better. And I hope we are, because if you're still feeling like Anthony felt and like so many others feel, man, talk about it to people. Tell people. And I know it's hard. It's impossible because you're like, they're not going to care. They've got their own problems. They'll care. So talk to people about it, because that rocked all of us. Again, it's why I do what I do. I love what I do because of this. Anyway, let's talk about what I do. We're talking about wine today. We're talking about France. We're talking about the rest of France, right? We're trying to finish up France because we've got to move on. We've got a lot of the rest of the world to cover. So today we're talking about sort of the Atlantic coast in southwest France and this just wonderful swath of land that's given us a lot of the wines that we really, really like, even though we might not know it. At the far northern part of the Atlantic coast, of course, you have Normandy and Brittany, which we actually talked about a couple weeks ago. It's the only real part of France, except right in the middle where it's the Massif Central, where they don't, but it's the only sort of coastal Mediterranean, Atlantic, you know, where they have no wine culture. They have apples and pears and stuff like that. So you have to get a little farther south to the mouth of the Loire River. And so the Loire is our first important wine region on the Atlantic coast. It starts in a city called Nantes, where they make a wonderful wine called Muscadet. And by the way, this is the wine for you all out there in Maine this summer, Muscadet, M-U-S-C-A-D-E-T. It's just this briny, apple-y, wonderful thing. It pairs with shellfish like no other wine just immediately. It's beautiful, and it's not expensive.
Yay!
in fact, it's what I started my day with. tasting, oh, you know, okay. Sampling professionally.
Breakfast.
But it was wonderful. It just, I was in a 3-hour real estate meeting this morning, and that just, right after that, it perked me up. That's nice way to start the wine part of my day. And then, of course, as you get into the Loire is a very, very, very long river, and it goes through a lot of different regions. Of course, you get into the central Loire Valley, where you have the Chenin Blanc grape, which makes Vouvray. A lot of you love Vouvray. And there's a couple of other places around the central Loire that do other really nice sort of unctuous Chenin Blanc, which is that grape. And you see Cabernet Franc there, which is interesting. We'll talk about that when we get to Bordeaux as well. But Cabernet Franc makes its appearance here up in the Loire Valley as sort of a nice medium-bodied, wonderful bistro type of wine. It just goes with everything. And then you go farther along the Loire Valley when it starts to sort of plunge southwards. And that's where you find the ancient seabeds, and you find Sancerre, Puy-Fumé, all these wonderful Sauvignon Blanc regions. So the Loire is in itself just, A, it's beautiful, B, it's varied, very varied, as it were, but full of wines that Mainers love. So again, Muscadet for your shellfish and your coastal stuff, the Vouvrays and the Cab Francs for just everyday drinking, and that of course the Sauvignon Blancs for a nice, very dignified, elegant white. The Loire is fantastic. It's just, it gives and gives and gives. Then you go a little farther south, and as I said, you know, keep in mind the Cabernet Franc varietal, because of course then we get into the region of Bordeaux, and that's what we're going to be sampling today, is one of my favorite estates from Bordeaux. Bordeaux obviously has a wonderful, wonderful reputation. Why? Well, because they're really good at making their own reputation. They started in 1855. You may be familiar with the story of where there was a bunch of Bordelaise wine merchants and other folks. They got themselves a booth at the Parisian Expo, and they said, let's drum up Bordeaux. So they said, well, we're going to rank our estates that we have so that people sort of can understand, oh, this is a really good estate, and this is pretty good, and that'll give us something to talk about. It's talking points. That's all it was. And it turned into the growth, the first, second, third, and fourth, and fifth growth. You know, and these estates since 1855 have basically never had to think about life again. They were established as, oh, these are the best wines in the world. Who said so? Oh, these people said so. And the fame spread internationally. And to this day, I mean, first growth wines, Chateau Mouton Rothschild, among, you know, things like that. They're you know, you can buy your first automobile, or you can buy a bottle of that. It's up to you. But it's going to be one or the other because they're that expensive. Fortunately for us, there's a lot of really good Bordeaux that has nothing to do with that whole 1855 classification. That's just really good. And so, there's, the other big myth about Bordeaux is not so much, you know, what's good and what's bad. But the other thing is that everybody thinks it's all Cabernet Sauvignon. It's not all Cabernet Sauvignon. In fact, there's not a lot of places, that can grow Cabernet Sauvignon in Bordeaux very effectively. Fortunately for us, the wine we're drinking today is quite a bit of Cabernet Sauvignon, and it is from one of those places. The place is called Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S, and it stands for, it means gravelly soil, and it is the heavy gravelly soil that allows a lot of drainage that is good for the Cabernet Sauvignon, and it likes that. But really what you see a lot of in Bordeaux is Merlot, and some absolutely fantastic Merlot, not the Merlot of, you know, your grandmother's, you know, yellowtail or barefoot or stuff like that. That stuff is... I don't know what that stuff is. I don't want to know what that stuff is. But good Merlot is still grown in parts of the world. Bordeaux is one of them. That Cabernet Franc grape that I told you about, that is also seen in Bordeaux quite a bit. In fact, you see it more than Cabernet Sauvignon. And when it is blended in with Merlot and other things, it makes a wonderful little grape. The other two, there's some Malbec that you find, of course. Malbec, which was clippings were taken and then taken over to Argentina, where, of course, it has flourished. But Malbec is originally from Bordeaux and then upstream from Cahors. And Petit Verdot, which you may have heard of. And so this wine today is a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, primarily, and then Merlot, Cab Franc, and Petit Verdot. This is from the Chateau du Grand Beau. This is a wine, so like most wines in my life have sort of come and gone because, frankly, ownerships change, winemakers change, vintages are sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. And of course, I always try to say that the best winemakers take the best fruit from even the bad vintages and do their best with it and make good wine. It's not always true, but it's you know, they definitely do their best. So this estate is really cool. This is a guy who owned a very, very well-known estate called Chateau La Haye, and he retired. And as so many of us who have hardworking friends who or parents or whatever who retire, who don't retire, yeah, this guy didn't retire. Everybody says they're going to retire, but if you've literally been getting up every day of your life and tending vines and it's the only thing you know, it's pretty hard to all of a sudden stop doing that. So he retired to another estate. And this particular estate, Chateau du Grand Beau, the estate in question, had been basically untended for about 50 years. And he just went right at it. He restored the soil. He restored the vines. And then in 2005, he made a wonderful cellar that was ideal humidity. And so has been just cranking out unbelievable wines. The reason I like his wines is because he's one of these guys who has enough money that he doesn't need to crank out wines immediately and sell them on the foreign markets or whatever to recoup his costs. He releases his wines when he's ready. Which, the reason I picked this today is this is the 2008 vintage. If you go out and try to buy 2008 Bordeaux right now, you'll have some success, but not a ton. You're starting to see 12s, 13s, 15s even from Bordeaux. This is the 8, and it just got released. I had been rolling with his historic 2005 for years, which is crazy, but he doles it out a little bit at a time. When I started in this business, which was not recently, we were on the 99 vintage, and I remember distinctly packing out this wine and saying, wow, 1999, like, wow, that even that was pretty rare then. And just fantastic wines, and it's $35. It's $35 for a great Bordeaux. Small automobile price? $35. Pretty easy. And crazy that one region produces great wines in both price ranges. It's all marketing. These guys are classic. They're famous for doing it. I don't hold it against them, but it's a thing. I know I'm running out of time, so of course I did want to hit the Southwest. The Southwest is full of funky, cool places. And from time to time, we'll taste wines on downtown from those places. Marciac, Cahors, Cabardès, the Basque countries, Irulegui and stuff like that. There's absolutely fantastic funkified wines from the Southwest that are being brought in actually by the same sort of people that are bringing in the wine today. Wine traditions. These are old friends of mine that I've been to France with. There are people bringing in really, really cool wines. So if you're looking for some 200 and 300 level wines, not cost, I mean like 101 versus 201, 301, yeah. Check out some of these Southwest wines. Go to your wine merchant and say, give me some funky, cool Southwest wines. We got them. Other people have them, too. Before I run out of time, June 21st, we are helping to release Bell's Brewery from Michigan here in Maine. And we do hope you stop by and taste their full lineup of packaged goods. And it'll be wonderful. And then pop on down and have some on tap. And then, of course, our friends from Crush Distributors will also be joining us. So we will have some awesome organic and biodynamic wines at that as well. So June 21st. 5 to 7 p.m. I do hope to see you in Bangor Wine and Cheese for that. And come on down. I should mention the wine I talked about today in glowing reviews is our wine of the week. So it's 10% off all week as well. Wonderful. So it's not $35. It's even less. Come on down. You're the next contestant.
Thanks,
see you next
sir.
Week.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric, thanks for your flexibility going a little early today. Flexibility rare in a man of your age.
But. Thank you for noting that. You've seen me try my yoga.
Have indeed.